The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listen again anytime, 24/7. Visit our podcast page at LarryMarino.com. Sunday morning, newsmakers, AM 870, The Answer.
This week we learned that former L.A. City Councilman Mitch Englander was arrested on federal charges of lying to the FBI during a probe of his alleged acceptance of cash, female escort services, hotel rooms, and meals from a businessman during his trips to Las Vegas and Cabazon. Joining us to talk about this is Jack Humphreyville. He writes LA Watchdog for City Watch. Thank you, Jack, for being with us on the program today.
Always a pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
We see this story. It went down. Englander of Santa Monica, 49, pleaded not guilty and was granted a $50,000 bond at his initial acceptance in Los Angeles federal court following his surrender. And, Jack, let's walk through this. He's named in a 7-count grand jury indictment handed down in January. Faces 1 count of scheming to falsify material facts, 3 counts of making false statements, 3 counts of witness tampering, and faces up to 50 years in federal prison if convicted of all charges. You and I talked about this investigation that began some time ago, looking at developers and possible donations or violations. Talk a bit about this story.
I think Mitch being indicted, or if that's the right word for it, being accused of corruption, sort of surprised everybody. But I think, you know, on the other hand, it isn't surprising. I think a number of people have thought that the city council and all its land use decisions was a pretty dirty operation. So this sort of confirms what a number of people have been thinking. From my perspective, I think Mitch's big mistake here was that he accepted cash. We haven't heard about cash being passed around Chicago-style, New York City-style in the past. But, you know, taking the cash is a lot different than, let's say, you know, getting campaign contributions, which I think is the standard operating procedure, you know, at City Hall. You know, my own personal theory here is that, you know, when these real estate developers are given favorable zoning or are able to upzone properties, we're talking, you know, increases in values of, you know, tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars. As a result of that, I would think that the political establishment realizes that, and they're going to try and put the arm on these various developers, or at least make sure they know that these guys have made a lot of money.
Federal authorities alleged Englander was trying to cover up acceptance of cash and other services from an unidentified businessman who operated companies in L.A. relating to major development projects and sought to increase his business opportunities in the city. He allegedly accepted the cash and services during June of 2017 trips to Las Vegas and the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa in Cabazon. The businessman subsequently began cooperating with federal agents, investigating pay-to-play allegations at L.A. City Hall. Federal prosecutors contend that during the trip to Las Vegas, in which Englander was accompanied by 2 city staffers, a lobbyist and real estate developer, the businessman allegedly handed Englander an envelope containing $10,000 cash in a casino bathroom. The businessman also allegedly gave Englander $1,000 in casino chips, which the councilman returned after he spent some time gambling, according to the indictment. There are stories of influence out there and different ways to give. One of the theories, aside from this story, is if somebody gives to a cause of yours. I mean, the whole ethics of dealing with people who have things before you and accepting anything is really tough, but there should be a clear line there somewhere. You and I have talked about the ethics model of the city of Los Angeles and how they really haven't had much. They tried putting something together. It kind of got buried. It's back. What's the status on an ethics plan for the city council?
Well, you know, you mentioned a previous effort to reform. Back in 2017, my councilman, David Rue, put forth a measure or a motion to limit campaign contributions by real estate developers. And that never really saw the light of day as a result of what I believe is Herb Wesson's efforts to bury it. Then we had the Jose Huizar thing and raid in November of 18. And when that happened, you know, ethics reform sort of, you know, came back up. And I think David reintroduced his motion. And everybody, you know, in the city council said, hey, that's a great idea. Well, by the time it got, you know, by the time the thing was over, it had been watered down considerably. I don't think anything takes effect until after the primaries in March of 2022. March of 2022. So that's another 2 years, if you will. So, you know, the thing got buried, and there's all sorts of loopholes in it, you know, including, you know, probably campaign contributions, as well as what you mentioned, the behesting. I think that's what they call it, is when, let's say, a developer contributes to some pet project of one of the council members or the mayor. So we just haven't had any real campaign finance reform. I don't think we've really, you know, really ever had a real investigation of all this. I mean, the classic one was down on that down at the Harbor City, where the Los Angeles Times did a David Zonheiser and Emily Albert did a marvelous job of uncovering about $600,000 of campaign contributions by this developer. I forget what the name of that thing was, but, you know, $200,000 to Janice Hahn, $95,000 to Joe Buscaino. And it's sort of that circular daisy chain that, you know, I think needs to be exposed.
Well, Jack Humphreybill, interesting stuff. We'll see how it all unfolds here.
Well, they're certainly giving us enough material to talk about.
They certainly are. Jack Humphreybill, City Watch. You're the LA watchdog, writes for City Watch. Thank you so much for being on the program today. Take care.
AM 870, The Answer.
Dan Walters writes in a recent opinion section in the Orange County Register about the old adage about tiny acorns growing into mighty oak trees is not confined to dendrology. It applies as well to governmental programs, and the piece that he's written here is titled Newsom's Ambitious Medi-Cal Overhaul. And joining us to talk a bit about it is Dan Walters, who writes for Cal Matters, and he is with us on the line right now. Good to have you on the program again, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let's talk about this. In reading it, I see that the governor would like to move housing for those in need into this Medi-Cal program. Kind of walk us through, explain what Medi-Cal is now and what his vision is if he can get his way.
Well, Medi-Cal is essentially an insurance for low-income people, medical insurance for low-income people. It's subsidized by the federal government. The state puts in some money. Local governments put in some money. And it's the way of paying medical bills for those who are poor enough to qualify for it. And in the last few years, the thing has exploded in size because of one aspect of Obamacare. Basically made Medi-Cal more accessible to people that were a little higher income, and with the state, with the feds going to pick up the tab, most of the tab, 90% of it, the membership just exploded, and now 13 million Californians, which is more than a third of the entire state's population, receives medical care from the Medi-Cal program. So it's immense. It's about $105 billion a year program right now.
Is there a number in here about $8,000 per individual in cost or what?
That's about what it works out to be. It's about $8,000 per enrollee per year right now.
So right now, those individuals, it's grown to a third of the state, get health care paid for through this program. But talk with us about the governor's ambitious program to roll housing into this.
Well, he wants to change Medi-Cal into what they call a whole person, quote unquote, whole person program that doesn't deal just with physical health in the usual way of medical appointments and doctors and hospitals and that sort of thing, but to look at the whole person and the circumstances of enrollees to do what's necessary to make them healthier people, expanding the list of services and including such things as housing. In other words, you might theoretically, a doctor might say, this person is going to be unhealthy as long as they don't, as they're living on the streets. Therefore, I'm writing a prescription for housing in the way, same way that a doctor might write a prescription for drugs. And that then would create a financial mechanism for that homeless person or the person who's living in very unhealthy conditions to go out and find better housing for themselves or have somebody find it for them, because part of this whole thing is to have kind of individualized care programs, what that individual needs, whether it's better housing, medical care, psychiatric care, dental care, whatever it might be. It's to create this kind of whole person thing. That's the theory of the thing. And it would require the feds to kick in some more money. It would require the feds to give the state some waivers that they would have to go into this new philosophy of care. And I surmise that it's probably the creating the framework for what the governor says he wants to do eventually, and that's to have single-payer universal health care for all Californians, regardless of income. They all would get health care. Every one of us would get our health care through a centralized state-operated system.
All right. Now, there's a lot of controversy there. That in itself is controversial. Talk with us about where illegals would fit into this program that's being talked about.
Well, the governor, as you know, has been extending Medi-Cal services to undocumented immigrants kind of one group at a time. And each year, now in his second budget, he singles out another group of undocumented immigrants who could get health care. Now, the feds won't pay for that. So the 100% of the cost for undocumented immigrants in Medi-Cal is paid for by the state. Undocumented immigrants make up the largest single group of people who do not have health insurance now in California. And so kind of one group at a time, he's adding more people to the network. But the state has to pick up the entire cost of that. The feds won't pay for that.
And as the state picks up that cost, we saw extensions into different age groups. I guess it was the young people this first time around that he's proposed older Americans, not Americans, older undocumented for the other part to roll into some health care. So if California is picking up the cost of this, a couple of questions. What is the impact on taxpayers, and what is the impact on these programs becoming magnets to draw more undocumented to California?
Well, it, obviously any money spent in this area is not money that's available to be spent someplace else. So unless you raise taxes, which they haven't yet proposed to do, then the whole business is a zero-sum game. Money spent on this is not money that's available someplace else.
The article in the paper, the opinion section, Newsom's Ambitious Medi-Cal Overhaul. We've been talking with Dan Walters. He joins us from calmatters.org. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Take care.
You bet.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Up next, the Barack Lurie Show, hosted by attorney Barack Lurie. The very popular Barack Lurie Show is filled with stimulating conversation and a fresh point of view on politics, religion, and the law. Next on AM 870, The Answer.